T-minus 14 to episode 1000. It's Monday, October 13th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 986, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, and Outlook email address for just a dollar a month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am here in Bloomington, Indiana. Flew into Louisville, Kentucky this morning and then drove up here, and I am in a hotel room like usual when I'm on travel. But today's show is strictly going to be audio only, so it's just us two. We're just together. And the video audience is not going to get a copy because I didn't lug all the video gear here to do the show, as I've been doing in recent shows when I'm out on the road. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of longtime listeners, and for those of you video folks that jumped over here to listen, for you guys as well. And of course, I want to, again, give a warm welcome to the Ohana. And I'm excited to do the show tonight. It's back in kind of an interesting deal. It was quite refreshing to get into the hotel tonight and kind of put my bags down, pull out the Tascam, plug my headset into it, and really the setup time was 2 minutes. Versus the gear I used to bring, it would be several, probably be an hour to get all the wires run and everything hooked up and the connection made and make sure the live video stream was working. Much more relaxing and fun to do it this way. But hey, got a great show lined up for you here. We're going to talk about a lot of tech tonight. And of course, I want to, all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, we're just coming off our 10-year anniversary show, which I really dumped a lot of data on all of you folks that have been listening for either a short or a long time. Matter of fact, we got a lot of emails that came in for our contest. So we're going to be giving away I've got the winners already randomly picked. We're going to give away two Chromecast and an Apple TV. And we'll announce those winners at the end of the show when I go through the emails that came in since the last episode. But again, if you're brand new, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You can find a link right on the website that says iTunes. You can click on that, and with your mobile device, and especially if you're got the upgrade to iOS 8, and you basically will be prompted to click subscribe in the podcasting app in iTunes. Or if you're an Android user, we want you to go out there and grab a podcatcher. My recommendation is Beyond Pod, but if you just do podcast search in the Android App Store, you're going to find a number of apps, and real easy to add the show. Come over back to geeknewscentral.com and you'll see the RSS feed with the icon with a little headset. Click on that, and that's going to, should, if you have a podcast application loaded in Android, should be prompted to add the show over there, so you'd be subscribed that way. You don't worry, you can watch or listen to the show at geeknewscentral.com. We want to encourage you to check out the rest of the shows on our network, whether it be Health Tech Weekly, whether it be Robot Underpants, whether it be The Elder Divide, whether it be Don Bain, The Gadget Professor. All those shows are now on their own websites, available via the menu system right at the top of geeknewscentral.com, so take advantage of that. Subscribe to all of our shows. We want you to do that. That way we know that you're going to be entertained, given lots of great information. There's really content here for every age group. Langley and his team are really kind of probably reaching a little bit younger demo. Todd and the Elder Divide is reaching the elder, age group. Of course, this show's down the middle. So is my, so is Don's show with the Gadget Professor. It kind of covers all bases. So, and of course, Jamie on the health tech front, and with all the stuff going on today and the scares going on with Ebola and everything, that's a great show to stay abreast of what's going on. I did miss playing a couple of basic folks had sent their audio clips in, and I just somehow missed them. So I'm not going to play him tonight. I'll definitely play him on a show when I get back to Honolulu. But my apologies to those folks that sent those in. But sometimes it happens when you're putting a show together and you're getting lots of video input or audio input as well. So definitely don't want to. Well, basically, I'm just going to do it when I get back because they took the time, and I just felt bad that I didn't cover it. Okay, so again, email me here at the show if you want to provide feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews and subscribe to the newsletter on the website as well. That way you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. Of course, you can follow me on Google+, Facebook. All that information is right there on geeknewscentral.com. And, of course, you can watch this show on the Roku Boxy, Google TV. Sit back and watch me on the big screen when I'm in Honolulu doing the show there. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want you to get over to GoDaddy by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and all of my promo codes are there. And really, every deal under the sun is available to you. And they've got some good ones, as usual, for you. This 30% off code seems to be the hot one right now. By using the promo code GNC30, you get 30% off all new orders. Geek149, you get a .com for $1.49, a new or transfer domain. GNC Got, this is a beautiful offer where you get a domain name, you get their website, builder product, you get a Microsoft Outlook email address, all for $1 a month for 12 months. Now, don't forget, we've got the... All these offers come with free domains, okay? So we got $1 a month WordPress hosting, $1 a month economy hosting. We've got 50% off new hosting plans, 50% off the first 12 months of website builder. All this stuff, all these deals are still kind of cooking. They're all on that page, so we're able to find really the best deal. So this is how you really implement and get your biggest savings. Now, because we're getting a free domain, you're getting a lot of this stuff is tied to hosting accounts, right? So if you already have a domain name, don't worry. You can still use it with any of the products you buy. You can just get an extra domain. You don't have to align it with the service. But that $1.49 deal with the domain is just really incredible. Now, it does go up to regular price at the end of the introductory price. I think it's $9.95 is the renewal fee. You can look at that on the website. There's full details there. But definitely get hooked up. Use all my codes. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. 9-plus years supporting this show because you guys support them by using these codes. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. If you got an anniversary coming up, you know, here's kind of a cool thing, fellas, and something that I'm working on. Shh, we can't tell anybody, right? Luckily, my wife doesn't listen to the show. I'm putting together a website that is going to be just for... her and I, and we might even let the kids in on it, but it's basically, I'm putting together a 20-year anniversary website. I'm going to be celebrating our 20th year being married next month, and so I've been putting, I bought a domain that's unique to her and I, and been basically scrounging through photos and everything I can really kind of dig up, kids' births, pictures, not the actual birth, but you know, I mean, the kids in the, not an incubator, in the bassinets and stuff in the hospital, and digging all those out. And I'm kind of making a pictorial site for her for our 20-year wedding anniversary is one of the little things I'm going to do. So, fellas, this is an idea for you. If you've got a big anniversary coming up, if you've got a wedding coming up with a daughter or even a son, this is a great way to document it and very, very inexpensive to maintain year after year. So definitely think about those types of little projects. You just don't have to have a blog. You can have really an incredible way to document something and have it online. And remember, all these types of websites are transferable. And as I'm getting older, I'm starting to think, okay, about the legacy portion of this is willable stuff. You know, how much stuff I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to turn, what my kids are going to get and have to maintain after I'm gone, hopefully in about another 50 years. But, you know, this is a legacy we can leave online for our kids and our grandkids and generations to come. And obviously, it's going to require some maintenance at some point. But very, very cool stuff to be able to do with web today. And I'm sure there's going to be services that are going to come out that are going to be like archiving all our stuff for us. So then as we go into the hereafter, there's going to be something available to for future generations to go back and look at. All right, that's it on GoDaddy. Thank them for being a sponsor here and definitely use my codes. And I just want to share with you some cool ideas on how you could use these products and services I'm offering to you. All right, I do want to talk just a little bit. We're going to talk about the 10-year anniversary show winners at the end of tonight's podcast and read basically their feedback. But I do want to share with you, last week we made an announcement this past Saturday on Blueberry. We basically got hacked. The details are on our blog at blueberry.com. We've got a statement on there that explains the details, at least the level that we want to go to. A little bit of stress for Angelo and the team the past couple of days, but we've rolled out the fix and the changes we made into our infrastructure. But it's just one of those things that, you know, when it here I talk on this show about companies having security breaches, and we talked about it internally as well of, looking at our code and everything else. But, you know, when you have the breadth and depth of code that we have, every once in a while you just, you get caught. And we did, but we want to be completely transparent about it and have announced and made a statement and provided procedures for people to reset their passwords. But if you've had an account over at blueberry.com, you've probably gotten an email from us. If you haven't gotten an email, definitely come over to the website anyway, and you'll see a big reset text at the top of the page. Just click on that and get the process started and get your password reset. But again, all the details on what transpired is over at blog.blueberry.com. Now, tops that stress that was going on with me, I was had recorded the Geek News, actually the New Media Show, on Saturday, and we'd had the one of the founders of Ask a Ninja podcast on, and it was a great discussion. Had a good hour, about an hour and a half with him, and really, it was a really, really good discussion. So I'm I'm getting ready to get on the road here. So it's, I'm getting the video encoded, and it's really late in the afternoon on Saturday. And I said, okay, the encoding must be done. I, walked in the office, uploaded, and look at my Mac Pro, and I'm like, my Mac Pro's turned off. And what are those two red lights coming out of the front of the screen of the Mac Pro? I'd never seen that before. And panic ensued. Long story short, after much investigation, resetting of memory, looking at everything I could look at, it looks like I killed my 2008 Mac Pro, and it was like a hammer. Oh, my God. I had hoped, we talked about on this show on whether or not which way I was going to go on doing an update, and I decided to wait. I knew that I could get a couple more years at least out of this Mac Pro, and it went and crashed and burned on me in a big, big way. So it sets ready to go to the Apple Store at some point when I get back, and I don't know if they're going to be able to fix it or not, but here I am faced now with essentially replacing that box. Had not planned on doing that. So I'm going to be very honest with you guys. If you love the 10-year anniversary show and you love what I do here, I would definitely appreciate a support through the GNC 1000, through the Insider program. If you're looking to make a donation at this point, this one-time donation, this would be a great time to do that. seriously, faced with about, I was looking at the pricing, and, it's just like, it's not $5,000 I wanted to spend right now. But that is that's about owning a business and having, something that you're, this show is my livelihood. So there are certain tools that, that I need. And, it's like my dad was a contractor. I talked to you guys about it on the 10th anniversary show. He was a ditch digger, had heavy equipment, bulldozers, backhoes, cranes, excavators. And I remember he had some equipment sabotaged, which, and a hydraulic excavator he basically had some hooligans put metal shavings down the hydraulic tank. And, you know, long, I won't even go into the details of that because we had a pretty good suspicion who did it. But the, that was, you know, $30,000, $40,000 for him. It was out of his pocket because it corrupted everything. I mean, when you have a hydraulic excavator and you have motors and pumps and pistons and rams, and even though the filters catch a lot of that stuff, it was not good. It was a big, big, big expense to repair all that. So, you know, I remember that day when he came home and told my mom, and, you know, they were just devastated because, you know, you don't plan on a big expense like that, and you really, the only way you can make it up is work harder. And in my case, at this point, working harder is great, building an audience is great, moving more GoDaddy products is great, but for a short time cash infusion, we definitely would appreciate any contribution at this point to the GNC 1000. Okay, what else is going on here? I think that's it. Let's go ahead and we're going to switch into the content. And I'm sorry for the beg, but it was just one of those things where it was like, I told my wife Saturday, I'm like, my God, you know, I was so, oh, you guys had a computer's die before, right? You know how painful it can be. Man, it just sucks so bad on so many levels. You just have no idea. But, you know, I really didn't need that additional tax write-off. But it's some, you know, and in Apple may be able to repair it. I don't know, but I'm out of machine, and until it's fixed, it's gonna be a while. All right, let's go ahead and again, let me get into the record content here, and I got a good stack of stuff for you tonight. Again, I want to thank all of you for being here and allowing me to put this great show on for you. I'm closing a couple of browser windows here because I was doing some business stuff just before the show. I had to send off a proposal, actually a contract to a new customer. And we're excited to, it's everyone's, you know, there's all kinds of cool things that have been going on. So I'm excited about some announcements we're going to make soon. All right, tech space, more than a million people have signed up to test Windows 10. And if you've been thinking about giving Windows 10 Preview Build a shot, boy, I guess you're not the only one here. According to Microsoft, its Windows Insider program hit 1 million registrants over the weekend. And what's really going on that's really big on this is that this time they're seeing a huge percentage of those folks actually installing them on machines and not putting them on virtual machines. So it's basically going on natively. So this is that's pretty cool. And they also learned that testers are using more than 7 apps a day, and so that's big when they're able to collect that type of data. You know, I've been thinking about doing this. If any of you are, I'd love to know how your experiences went. I've got a machine that I can use for testing. It's basically an older laptop that I use, and it's running Windows 8 now. And was one of the primary reasons I didn't upgrade to Windows 8 was my experience with that. But pretty exciting stuff here. And I think Windows 10 is going to be, based on what I'm seeing so far, is going to be a winner. They've kind of acquiesced to all of us that were complaining. I still launch 90% of the apps that I use on my Windows machine right from the desktop. I never really go to the start bar that much, but I just like those fixed icons. I guess we weren't alone this weekend. Snapchat's unofficial API was responsible for some security issues where about 500 megs of images were downloaded. And so people have been able to get in and do some naughty stuff here. And they actually reverse engineered the Snapchat API to basically monitor stuff that was going through the app and what was going on. But apparently they've got some holes to close over there at Snapchat. You know, don't put something on your accounts that you would be afraid someone to see, because that's the biggest problem I have with some of these online apps. People are, you know, taking naked photos of themselves or whatever it may be. And if those accounts are like that are hacked and those pictures are leaked, you really are at the mercy of that provider to keep your photos under lock and key, and they don't always do that for sure. So, anyways, that's what's going on with Snapchat. Also, there's a new app that's come out that's called SWAT, and I've got mixed feelings about this. The SWAT app wants to help you keep a close eye on police. And after visiting Ferguson, Missouri recently, a pair of Georgetown students realized the need to access cell phone videos of police misconduct in the event a device is destroyed. With that in mind, Brandon Anderson and Joseph Grunbaum set out to develop the SWAT app that sends your footage to the cloud in the event your phone itself is confiscated or smashed. In addition to safely beaming videos to a server for later use, the app also allows you to file complaints without having to visit a police station. Plus, it'll tell you about your legal rights using your GPS coordinates to determine the applicable jurisdictions. That way, you can quickly read up on the proper local, state, and federal laws should the need arise. The project is in its infancy, but there's no question that there's going to be a class of folks that are going to be wanting to use this. Now, if you think about this app, people are too often now having phones confiscated and taken away from them because the police are not happy with what's been recorded. And also, people get into areas where one jurisdiction allows the filming of a police officer where another one, may not, and the certain rules that go along with it. So, definitely an interesting app. I'm sure is going to have a pretty popular following with some folks. Based on what it's going to provide. It doesn't tell anything, I don't think, from what I understood about it, that leads you to, out where the police are having, SWAT-like activities. It's more, again, of being able to record stuff, have it sent to the cloud. But, you got to remember, any video that you take, you're really reliant on the app getting it transferred in time. So if something's going down live and you are, in the middle of something and the police officer comes up and grabs your phone, you may not get that footage uploaded in time. It doesn't transfer that fast, I would think. So I'm sure they're coming up with recommended clip lengths and stuff like that to keep the video pumping up while you're recording stuff. There's a great article over on Gizmodo talking about. Well, I just didn't even switch gears here, did I? Just take a breath and moved right into the next article. So over on Gizmodo, there's a new report out. A team of researchers in Singapore have basically developed what they're calling a next-generation lithium-ion battery. Now, we've heard about enhancements or upgrades to lithium-ion batteries for a while, fast charging, all these things, and we keep hearing about this stuff, but nothing ever makes it to market. Or it's 10 years away. And it's, we've been pretty, I guess for a better word, safe to be skeptical on these types of reports. But what's different here is that this particular battery that they have done this study on, this new lithium-ion battery will charge 70% in 2 minutes and supposedly last for 20 years. And what it's doing, it's an improvement upon existing lithium-ion technology. It doesn't change too much of the battery design, but it uses a gel to be able to do this quick charge. And this is kind of interesting. I was reading this, I was like, whoa, this is huge. They're using nanotechnology, and they're saying that if they're able to implement this, they're going to be able to take a, like an electric car, and it'll be able to pull up to a pump and really get a 70% charge within 5 minutes. And that'd be like almost the same as, pulling up and getting a, filling your gas tank up. So that works. And even if you can, just think if you can get, if your battery's almost dead and you pull in at a gas station in 5 minutes, you get to 70%, that really makes the gameplay for electric vehicles a lot more, I guess for a better word, it's palatable. You don't have to sit on a charger for 8 hours, and that's key here. So this is pretty cool, what they've done here. The researchers say they'll have the new technology on the market in just 2 years, They feel, at least the folks at Gizmodo feel, that this has potential, largely because it's using mostly existing technology, just a small change in a couple of products, and we'll see where it goes. One of the cool products I found today on the web that I found was called it's a new umbrella. You know, umbrellas haven't changed much since they've been making umbrellas. It's probably been, people have been using some form of umbrella for, you know, probably last 2,000 years at least. But this is called the air umbrella. It holds off the rain with a force field of air. It's a Kickstarter that's going on. It's called the air umbrella. Provides a duo with those pesky metal ribs in favor of dome of jetted air. This isn't the first time we've seen this type of concept, but this is pretty cool stuff. Now, these folks have raised. Right now, you can still get on the early bid deals. Version A is $88. B version is going for $98. So basically, for about $88, you can get on this. And really what it does, and I'm sure it's not going to work really well in a huge downpour, but it just blows the, you know, a light rainstorm. It blows air above you, and it essentially keeps the water from landing on you, which is pretty cool. So I'd love to see, they probably have a video of it on the website, on the Kickstarter. I didn't look at it because I'm here on hotel bandwidth, but air umbrella holds off the rain with a force field of air. $88, definitely would be a cool kid on the block. Here in Hawaii, when it rains, it's, you know, oftentimes it's just a light drizzle. And it, you know, an afternoon, or we get a little bit of a downpour for a little while. But this type of umbrella would work perfect, especially if you're one of those folks that live in Seattle where it's always just kind of spitting on you instead of just really hardcore raining. So definitely a cool Kickstarter project. I'll definitely be checking it out myself. If you are listening to the show in Asia and you've been using Google's DNS services, they had a little bit of an outage, yesterday. Their attractive IP address 8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4 went down for Asian users yesterday. Of course, we know Google offers this public DNS service out of the goodness of their heart, ha ha ha, and also because of the touted features of extra speed and greater security avoidance. So apparently there was a little bit of an issue, but again, it was only in Asia. But some folks did have trouble. And if you're not in Asia, you don't care. One thing that we've had in our house for a long, long time is one of these real super-duper high-speed blenders that you can use to make smoothies with. And be honest with you, we absolutely love our Vitamix. Now, here's the thing I want to share with you guys about Vitamix. And again, I'm not selling these, but I just saw an article over on Kenja.com that talks about a variety of blenders. When we bought our Vitamix, we bought the extended warranty, a 3-year extended warranty. Now, because we use our Vitamix a lot, we make smoothies 2-3 times a week at least. And then the kids use it. My daughter, of course, is a vegetarian. She uses it for making her stuff. So this thing gets a lot of usage. My wife is very much against having appliances on the counter. She likes them stored away, and this is the one appliance, including the toaster and the coffee machine, that do get to stay on the counter. That, you know, for that to happen at my house is pretty remarkable. But this Vitamix, we've burned up twice over about how many years? Oh, maybe 8-9 years. And the first warranty we got was a 3-year warranty. We sent it in. They replaced the unit completely. When it came up for renewal, they offered us another extended warranty. We were able to, we paid whatever it was, the $80 or so, to get the extended warranty for another 3 years. And, and I don't know if we had the luck of the draw or just because we use our blender so much that, you know, you're putting fruit, ice, this thing, you know, it's getting hammered when you are, you know, mixing this stuff with it. And this is what it's designed to do, don't get me wrong. But we've, I guess for better words, been a hard use case on these things. It just doesn't sit on the counter. It gets used. So if you guys go with a Vitamix, buy the extended warranty. Hopefully you don't have to use it. If you do and you get the opportunity to renew. So I think now we're off warranty. And the blender's still going fine, and I think the second time they just replaced something and sent it back to us. So I told my wife, I said, "Well, when this one dies, we'll just go buy a brand new one and start the process over again." So you know, I look at my investment on this thing. I bought it on sale initially for like $295. I've had a couple of warranties on it, so probably maybe my total investment's close to $500 over. You know, I hope will take us out to 10 years. Pretty good investment for that Vitamix. We've had great luck with it. But just kind of a personal endorsement here. If you guys are thinking about buying one of these, and I know it's getting towards the holiday period, fellas, don't buy your wife one of these for Christmas. Buy one for the family to stay safe. Ladies, maybe you want to buy one just to buy one, but we love ours. We really, really do. But we use it a lot. All right, Facebook now lets you put stickers in comments. Stickers? Are you kidding me? Stickers like hamburgers and fries, smiley faces, peace signs, thumbs up. What is this? I see one icon that they're allowing. It looks like someone's throwing up, squinting the eye and throw up. Please, are we going backwards? Is this the internet of yesteryear? Do you remember when smileys were, all these icons were the rage? I thought we were beyond that at this point. I just don't get it. I really don't, to be honest with you. I hope there's a way to deny the use of those icons on comments. If they don't, I'm just going to use them every time just to annoy people. Wow, gross. I guess that's the only word I really can come up with right now. Or irritating. All right, let's talk about cameras and let's talk about our phones. You know, everywhere I go today, I see two, especially in Hawaii, we see a lot of people with cameras. They're doing one of two things. They're using their iPhone or their Samsung or whatever mobile device they have to take pictures of the beach and sunsets and, you know, food. Or I see the other segment, they're carrying high-end DSLRs. So it's usually one or the other. There's really nothing in between. I don't see a lot of people using the small handheld cameras anymore. And I can understand why. It's a hassle. You got to carry an extra device. You got to charge the extra battery, on and on and on. But, there's times I want to get a better picture than just what the cell can provide. So because my camera on my cell phone broke, I was I happened to be in a big box recently, and I was looking at a variety of different small handheld cameras and looking for something that was easy to use. And what I'm really looking for is some cameras now that have, this Wi-Fi connectivity so that you take a great picture, then it can be synced to your phone. Well, it appears that there's, like the Sony RX100 is one of the cameras out there that can do this. But there's some other ones as well. But we've got some issues with some of these cameras being able to do the handshake and handoff, and it's a little clunky. Are any of you guys using something that will connect to your cell phone? Or are you guys still using something like an iFi with your DSLR to send stuff to your mobile device? What are you guys doing these days? I'm kind of curious here. Now, obviously, I'm going to have my iPhone 6 Plus at the end of the month, beginning in November, and I'll have a front-facing camera again. So maybe it won't be as big a deal to me, but I was definitely kind of looking. And not necessarily to buy, but just kind of see what was out there. But I'm just kind of curious what you guys are using besides your mobile devices that basically is a connected camera. It's maybe not DSLR, but something that is a little bit up in better quality than what you can get out of your cell phone camera. there's lots of, you know, we got to watch the start watching the space right now. We're getting into the period of the year where deals are going to start coming out. We're, you know, we're only about, 5 weeks away, 6 weeks away from Black Friday. So there's, you know, the manufacturers are really going to be start upping their game and making available a variety of different products and services and giving them deals. So what I want you guys to do, if you see a deal that's really, really good, let's make sure that we keep the Ohana here informed of these cool things, because when something pops, you know, usually you've got a limited amount of time. You know, it's usually a deal's less than 24 hours or maybe 12 hours. If you see something's awesome, either put it up on the Geek News Central Facebook page or on the Geek News Central Google Plus page. That way we can share it with the Ohana and we can kind of be a clearinghouse to help each other save some money as we head into the holidays here. You know, my goal, obviously, with this show is to try to find you guys great deals on stuff, give you good recommendations on stuff to buy so that you can get some value for value out of your GNC 1000 donation you make every month. I hope you get your money back many times over. I turn you on to something cool you didn't know about. So as a community, let's work together to kind of clearinghouse some of these deals, and I'll be definitely watching for stuff as they come out. I know that today there was a KitchenAid that was on sale. You know, no house is complete without a KitchenAid. And today a Newegg, there was one for you could save $140 on the 5-quart professional model. So that, that brings that thing down to like $220 versus almost $400. So, I missed that deal, but I got the email from folks too late. And I think when you've something that you want but necessarily can't justify, but at the same time, when a good deal comes out like that, maybe that is the justification you need to make the jump. So let's help each other out and save money and post those good deals on either, again, the Geek News Central Facebook page or on the Geek News Central G Plus page or both. And, if you find something, share it so that we can all enjoy the rewards of that deal that you found. There's some reporting come out that we may not see the Retina MacBook this week after all, specifically the Retina MacBook Air. There is, again, some rumors this is not going to happen. This, again, is a rumor control. We will find out whether or not that's the case here in just a few short days. But if any of you are waiting for that, you may be disappointed. Also on the lithium-ion battery front, some folks are actually working on a design to come up with a way to detect when a lithium-ion battery is having issues. We've heard about fires in lithium-ion batteries. We've probably all seen a lithium-ion battery that has swelled. Matter of fact, a swollen lithium-ion battery took out my touchpad on my wife's MacBook Pro. We all have to watch these batteries in a big, big way. So what they've come up with is a way to put a thin, basically conductive material in between the cathode material and the anode material in a lithium-ion battery. And when a shorting has occurred, they basically shunt the battery to zero. And it's a little separator that's in there that they've been able to get some good results on. So it may become a time here soon where if we have a battery that is has an issue, it'll either fail the battery or there can be some sort of warning given to us that battery or that laptop needs to be taken outside and put in a safe zone so that it doesn't hurt somebody. So it'd be cool if they are able to make this happen. Time will tell if they're able to make that implemented or not. Well, if you are working with Apple, and there's a good article on AppleInsider.com talking about an Apple supplier contract includes a $50 million penalty per instance for leaking future product info. Details from Apple supplier non-disclosure agreements are beginning to leak thanks to the bankruptcy proceedings of GT Advanced Technologies, who, of course, was a Sapphire maker that was supposed to be the Sapphire maker, and they're arguing that even more should be published so creditors and shareholders can see the full story behind their fall from grace. But $50 million is the fine, is the penalty these manufacturers have to sign if a product leak happens. That's really, you think about that. As a private business owner, And Apple basically says to you, if you leak anything about our products, you're going to get a $50 million penalty. How do you keep a rogue employee from costing you $50 million? You know, that to me seems like unacceptable risk. But I guess if you want to play with Apple, that's what they make you do. China is getting ready to get the iPhone 6 Plus and iPhone 6. It's officially going to be on sale on October 17th. So they're going to be able to get them there without having to bootleg them into the country. But China Customs is cracking down on the iPhone 6 gray import market. Essentially, they're not happy. They're not collecting the tax. So customs officers are now looking for people coming into the country with or Chinese citizens coming into the country with the iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, or people coming in with more than one. And if they find it, find one in their luggage, they're going to be fined around 20% of the value of their phone. And now, China's VAT was already 17%. So technically, they're only going to be paying a 3% penalty, but which may not be too bad compared to anything else. But most of the folks were coming in and not paying anything at all. But they're definitely going after the folks that were those, you know, basic people standing in line and shipping hundreds of phones back. So, well, I guess that's one way to raise some revenue, right? You want to bring an iPhone 6 into the country, you pay 20% on its value. Ka-ching! That would set your wallet back a little bit. Good article on the Register. And the entitled of the article is Cops and Spies Should Blame Themselves for Smartphone Crypto Problem. So, you know, law enforcement and intelligence agencies are really complaining big time about the improved security of smartphones. Not only Apple, but what's being brought into the play by Android. But if you think about it, think about what Google and Apple have had to endure from a reputation standpoint. You know, the government's annoyed. But, you know, they kind of brought it upon themselves. They, you know, they were, you know, man in the middle. They were doing all kinds of, this is at least alleged, attacks on their infrastructure. So, you know, these companies are pissed. And it's not surprising that they have done what they have done here in, you know, basically the government lurking around their infrastructure. So, you know, I don't know where this is going to lead. I think it ultimately will probably end up in as a some sort of legislative action or presidential directive, who knows. But the government is, well, it's a cake and eat it too, and I understand from a certain perspective why they do that, but these companies are not happy about it, and they're going to retaliate as they have in the best way they can, and that's through, you know, baking in security into their products. And making the product more secure, or, you know, as secure as they possibly can. And nothing is foolproof. You know, if the government wants your stuff bad enough, they're going to get it. But they're definitely making it much, much harder for the FBI and other groups to do their investigative work or evidence gathering when it comes to data on smartphones. Over on Engadget, amputees can now control artificial limbs with their minds. This is incredible. You know, artificial limbs have been controlled by muscle movement for a while now. But what if someone developed a way to wire a prosthetic directly into someone's nervous system? Well, apparently that's what a team at Chalmers University have achieved with an implantable prosthetic system that relies entirely upon neural control. Where existing tech requires surface sensor, this basically implant is akin to having a USB port wired into your nervous system, offering a much greater level of control. There's a pretty cool video of what's going on here, and it's not going to be long. You know, give us 10 years, and folks are going to have almost fully functional limbs. It's exciting. It really, really is. And then we'll get to the point where, you know, we're going to be having limbs that don't look like prosthetic devices. They're going to look pretty real. The future is coming, folks, as we expected. California, you know, they've got lots of oil rigs offshore, much to the detriment of the, you know, the green folks. They don't like those oil rigs out there. They say they're a hazard to the biology of the ocean and everything. Well, apparently, or some studies that were done, and one of the most unusual recent developments in ocean conservation has been the use of artificial reefs. And guess what is performing, is the most productive fishery? Well, the area in and around offshore oil rigs are and have been for the past 5 years been as many as 15 times more productive for fish for a fishery than any of the other artificial reefs and so forth have been in, put in place. And the reason is because the structure goes from the surface all the way down to the ocean floor. So thus, the fish pattern in and around that structure is top to bottom, and it's not just centralized around a certain area. And certain type of fish, as they get older, they go deeper. And it's just, this is working out well. So reluctantly are reporting that these vertical structures are directly contributing to, an abundant of sea life in around them. In typical areas, a reef in Louisiana and a reef in Tahiti saw annual productivity about 75 grams for each square meter. The lowest of oil rigs came in at around 105 grams per square meter, and the highest was nearly 900. The authors were even being conservative, but not including any fish more than a couple of meters from the structure, which ignores the entire water column enclosed by the rig's legs. So this is an interesting thing here. Oil rigs are basically very, very healthy for fisheries. Until they blow oil out of them, right? All right, we know that the Air Force has been flying the X-37B robotic space plane. Well, I guess it's coming back to Earth tomorrow. The Air Force said in a statement released on Friday that the X-37, also known as Orbital Test Vehicle, will be landing. Where is it going to be going? It's going to land out in California, I guess, out in the dry lake bed. So I'm sure there'll be some more coverage on this through the week goes on. But it's been up there a while. 22 months, I guess. So it'll be back on the deck here, I guess, tomorrow. So we'll report on that on Thursday. NASA is also reporting that their studying of the moon volcanoes, the extinct moon volcanoes, of course, kept cranking a lot longer than what they thought they did. The scientists originally thought that the volcanic activity moved had wrapped up about a billion to 1.5 billion years ago. But if they've been looking at images from the low reconnaissance orbiter, the space agency describes the deposits being characterized by a mixture of smooth, rounded, shallow mounds next to patches of rough, bulky terrain. And they've categorized 70 of these patches. They feel, in the study that they've done here, that these patches are less than 100 million years old. One particular well-studied patch named Ina could be young as 50 million years old. So if this is the case, this proves to be correct, and they're able to explore and do some samples up there, it could rewrite the entire history of the moon. So we could have had a situation where when dinosaurs, I guess, were still walking the earth, where there were still active volcanoes on the moon. Pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? Maybe that's what killed the dinosaurs. Maybe blew out some stuff. And there's an adapter. You guys know about MHL? An MHL adapter charges your phone while sending 4K video to a TV. Back in March, MHL 3 Tech wrangles 4K video from a micro USB jack while keeping the device charged. This is pretty significant, because the problem before was they were having you could run the 4K video out of the micro USB, but they weren't able to keep the battery charged. So now they've been able on the device, on a smartphone. So what they would do is they've made an adapter here that pulls out the 4K video, also 7.1 Dolby, and at the same time is able to charge the phone with up to 10 watts of power. So it's getting some rave reviews around the web. I think I'm actually going to be getting one that I'm going to be testing, but they're pretty cheap, $30. So if you got a 4K TV, you've got the ability to, and actually I didn't ask for a 4K device. I asked for a HD 1920 by 1080 device that they're going to be sending out. But MHL, something for you to have a 4K TV to look for. Now, with all the situations going on with passwords today, are you guys using a password manager? I use a password manager. you know, and it's you put a lot of trust in these folks because, you know, they're storing your data, and you got to hope that they're, you know, they're using good encryption and all the stuff that goes along with having a basically a password bank. But the folks over at PC World have done a good write-up on what you should look for from companies like LastPass and the other folks that are out there that are they're providing these services, and questions you should ask and research when you're looking at getting a piece of software that's basically going to manage your passwords. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. There is some studies out as well that Patent Troll has been crazy profitable, but thanks to the Supreme Court, new lawsuits are now declining. And let me grab a... If I was doing video, I couldn't do this. I stand up over here, get me a bottle of water. Oh, that was kind of cool. If I'm doing a video, I'd never be able to do that. Okay, so a patent trolling has, you know, been pretty profitable for these folks. They only need a couple to convert, and they make big, big money. So from 95 to 99, there was about, let's see if I have to break this down. Is this millions? Median damage adjusted for inflation. Okay, so if you adjust for inflation in 1995 to 1999, about $5.6 million was the... about the median damage. From 2000 to 2004, 11.3 to 5.7. 2005 to 2009, 7.3 to 4.3. 2010 to 2013, 8.5 to 2.5. So we've seen a little bit of reduction since Congress, basically these rules have went into place. And they're not making as much money, but they still are making a considerable amount. And it talks about non-practicing entities and practicing entities. And a non-practicing entity would be a company just holds a patent. A practicing entity would be like an Apple. So again, and I guess I should have said that more clearly when I was reading these numbers off. Generally, the bigger number was the non-practicing entities. In other words, just the trolls, the ones that hold a patent and just going after damages. And so again, 8.5 to 2.5 in 2010, 95 to 99, 5.6, 5.5. So it wasn't a range. It was the difference between non-practicing and practicing entities. My bust. So definitely it's down, though. 2000, 2004, 11.3 was when it peaked, was the damages were being found. So maybe we're starting to see a little of that way. And basically, based on how much people are actually spending, it's nice to see the reward amounts down. It's not as profitable for them. All right, another fanboy who mocked Bengate finds himself disturbed by a slight bent iPhone 6 Plus. This has got to be a concern. After a month, even with a case, him and his partner, or partner, he doesn't define if it was if it's a male or female, basically said his partner's device is not nearly, basically they both see a little bend in their phones. And... he says, hey, we've been overprotective. We've had a case. We put, something on the screen. And so he's a little bit troubled by just a month of actually seeing a little bit of a bend in the phone, even having used a very strong case. And that has to be of concern to everybody, including Apple. I'm sure this is going to get a lot of press over the next 12 to 18 months. In a first, the TSA has announced 7 Americans removed from the no-fly list. Wow. For the first time, the government is removing people from the no-fly list to comport with a federal judge ruling that the message to challenge placement on watch lists were wholly ineffective. Federal authorities notified the ACLU was representing 13 people who sued to get off the list of its decision late Friday. The government has until January to deal with the other 6 plaintiffs of the ACLU's handling. So basically, 7 of the 13 people have been fighting or have gotten off. This is a victory here in a big, big way. Federal agencies have nominated more than 1.5 million names to terrorism watch lists over the past 5 years, yet being a terrorist isn't a condition to get on the roster until now has been virtually impossibly removed, according to a leaked U.S. watchlisting guidance manual. Judge Brown's decision is expected to help others challenge their placement on the list as well. So, these 7 Americans are off. The judicial system moves slow, but at least they are getting some relief. Mailbox email app for Mac opens the beta to all users. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but Dropbox has got an email app that seems to be getting some pretty good reviews. I'm not at all familiar with it, but it's basically open to everyone now. So if you want to pick that up, again, it's Mailbox for OS X. And again, it's a Dropbox own email app. If you want to give it a try, it is available for those of you that have Macs. On the Google front, Google is rejecting 58% of right to be forgotten requests. CNN has a short, interesting piece on the results of Google implementing Europe's right to be forgotten. They are denying most requests, particularly those made by convicted criminals, but honoring the request to remove salacious information, such as when a rape victim requested the article mentioned her by name to be removed, removed for her name. Also, in evaluating a request, they look at whether the results include outdated or inaccurate information about the person, Google said. They also say we'll also weigh whether or not there's a public interest in the information remaining in our search results. For example, if it relates to financial scams, professional malpractice, criminal convictions, or your public conduct as a government official, it's not coming off, which is good news. But it'd be nice to see everything they are removing. As you guys know, these new top-level domains are going crazy right now, from coffee to .email to .xyz. A lot of new top-level domains. I think 417 are already available and online. There's 1,930 applications. So we've got a ways to go here over the next couple of years to get these all out. But, you know, if you've got a particular business and you're trying to protect your brand, you definitely want to look at the ones that are applicable. I'm going to provide tonight a list of top-level domains that have become available. Did you guys know that .chrome, .cal, .zip, .prof, .channel, .nexus, .fly, .world were all some of the new top-level domains? .dad, .day, .new, .move. It just goes on and on and on. .gifts, .top, .healthcare, .realtor, .auction, .nra, .spiegel, .lgbt, .gent, .deals, .melbourne, .bmw, .green, .scott, .organic. Just goes on and on, all these new top-level domains. A little bit too much is going to end up costing us all a lot of money. Hey, there's a rumor out that Apple Pay will work with banks to update expired credit cards. That's cool. So if your credit card is getting ready to expire, the banks will automatically update the stuff in your playbook. That's cool. So it happened to me today, getting ready to, I walked up to the Hertz counter, actually to the gold lot, and my name wasn't on the board. And I'm like, well, why not? And I walked in and I said, my reservation is up on the board. And the lady says, oh yeah, she says, your credit card was declined. And that immediately sets off alarm bells. Well, I had updated my profile on my credit card after making the reservation, and the reservation still was tied to my old profile, which expired on October 1st. So she just had to swipe the new card, update my profile, and I was on my way. But, you know, I thought their system was too stupid. It didn't know that I had updated the credit card. It cost me about 15 minutes, which isn't a big deal in the scheme of things. But when you're used to just walking out, looking at the board, seeing your name, going to your car and driving, that's a big deal. Hey, we'll share with you guys, too, something that happened to me recently. And I've been renting cars for years and years and years and years and never had this happen. I rented a vehicle, got into it, looked the car over, did my quick walk around. And then later in the day, I noticed the gas cap didn't want to stay shut. It was, you know, kind of like half open. It was like someone had tried to open it without pulling the gas cap button. So I really didn't think too much of it. When I turned the vehicle in, I told the lot attendant about it. I said, hey, that gas cap lid went and shut for me. It was like that when I picked it up. Well, I was in a hurry to get the airplane, and I didn't take time to make sure that they wrote it down on the receipt, and I had missed it on the walkthrough. And about a month later, I got a call from Hertz saying, hey, you owe us $90 for the damage to your car because of the gas cap lid. So So I went around, I called them up, and we went back and forth three or four times, and they finally, didn't charge me for that. But that's the first time in many years that they've actually pinged me on something, and I've had bigger issues with cars before. So it goes to pay if the car rental folks are starting to give a closer look on cars now, My advice to you is to definitely, if you haven't been doing it, start taking a closer look at your vehicles before you go off the lot with them. It'd been kind of an afterthought for me for years because I never had an issue, but it proved to almost bite me in the butt and almost cost me $100. So just be aware of that next time you rent a car, all right? All right, ISPs are switching gears. It's been revealed that ISPs are already violating net neutrality to block encryption and make everyone less safe. And they don't name the company, but a filing is being made from a VPN company called Golden Frog. It discusses two recent examples that show that users are not receiving open, neutral, and uninterrupted services to the internet. And they basically were doing some testing on some wireless networks, and they found that a wireless broadband internet provider is interfering with its users' ability to encrypt their SMTP traffic. The broadband provider is also overriding the content of users' communications and effectively blocking what's called the star TTLS encryption level. Of course, this can only be done by a man-in-the-middle attack that prevents customers from using the application of their choosing and directly prevents users from protecting their privacy. So they go into quite some details to show exactly what was going on. But they did this test with at least one mobile wireless provider and proved that they were blocking encrypted email traffic. So it goes to show you that without any net neutrality protection going on, that these companies are going to do what they want to do and really ban us from using services that we want to, as it's been desired by us as customers. So I hope they out who the ISP is. I'm sure that people are going to start doing some testing on their own. It'll come out very, very quickly. But it just makes you wonder who the bad boy is. I'm putting my bets on Verizon at this point. That would be my guess, but we will see where this leads. On the same front, AT&T is finishing a rollout of the 1 gigabit per second connection in Austin. So they are planning to expand Gigapower fiber networks to dozens more cities as it competes with Google and other providers of super fast internet speeds. But basically, Austin is pretty much upgraded at this point. So, but I'd like to see this type of service rolled out in more places. $70, that's what it's costing. Wow. 1 gig internet for $70 a month. That's just incredible. FBI is on a media campaign right now to bash Apple. Kind of covers some of the stuff that we were talking about earlier about the encryption. And a little more detail on that. I should have talked about that earlier, but I didn't get the stack arranged correctly. Apple has leaked. There's been a leak to Apple Pay, and it details the how Apple Pay is going to work and some training documents. So I'll have that in the show notes for you to go through if you want to get down the nitty-gritty. In the news, Meg Upload says that the U.S. government is trying to steal assets based on crimes that are figments of the government's boundless imagination. So there's more entertainment reading here when what's going on with the Meg Upload case. And basically, he's trying to get his assets released by the claim the U.S. government has on it in New Zealand and in Hong Kong. Just more court filings, and he's trying to get his assets back. Good luck with that. Flight attendants are not happy about electronics being used during takeoff, and they've been petitioning for this ban to be put back in place. They're saying people aren't paying attention. No kidding. But I did notice today on the flight on United. Because I was sitting beside a gal out of Honolulu, and her and I were talking about something that Finnair had done, and lo and behold, the safety video came on from United, and they had used some of Finnair's tactics, and her and I laughed about it. It was pretty ironic, they actually made it was entertaining to watch once. And I guess if they put a new video out every month, it'll get the job done. But United had a new safety video that was pretty entertaining. It was done well and got both men and women's attentions. They used very attractive men and women in the video. So if you fly United next time, you'll get to see that video, or probably it's on the web somewhere. Now, Finland is crying. They say Apple killed our two biggest industries. No, Finland, Apple didn't kill your two biggest industries. Nokia failed to innovate. And when you fail to innovate, you get crushed. And as much as I was a big fan of Nokia products, but Finland's been downgraded from AAA to AA+, which, you know, we've been seeing a little bit of that action going on with the United States credit rating as well. But they're saying Finland's aging population base is also adding to it as well. But they blamed a lot of it on Apple because Nokia was providing a huge amount of, dollars coming into the country. All right, there's a good survey out. Hey, married men and women of this show, if you want to know what makes a stable marriage, there's some very interesting data put out. And I have to laugh because there is definitely some correlations to my wife and I lasting 20 years so far. And we got a fire truck going by the room. It's raining here. I heard we might be under tornado watch here where I'm at. So we'll have to keep an eye out here. So how long you were dating, how much money you make, how often you go to church, your attitude towards your partner, how many people attended your wedding. So get this. If you had 200 plus that attended your wedding, you are 90%, 92% less likely to get divorced. If you had 1 to 10, you were 35% less likely to get divorced. Now, how much you spend on your wedding is just the opposite. If you spent more than $20,000, you were 46% more likely to get a divorce, whereas if you'd spent $0 to $1,000, you were 53% less likely to end up in divorce. Whether you had a honeymoon, 41% less likely. And just some pretty cool stuff here. There was even some price points on how much you spent for a ring and how much you make. Definitely folks that make more money are less likely to head for divorce. You folks making 125K a year or more, you're a 51% less likely. I think what it boils down to there is when things are really bad and if there's no money coming in, it's just a lot easier to say, forget it, I'm better off on my own. Whereas if you're making a lot of money and maybe one partner's making more than the other partners, you know, they'll put up with, it's really sad, yeah, to say that, but it's probably some of the psyche that goes into it. I just thought this was entertaining, so I have this up in the show notes for maybe the married and unmarried folks in the audience to take a look. There's some questions being asked by cities where Comcast is leaving. Companies like cities like Detroit, where Comcast is bailing. Check this out. You guys want to listen to this dirty little trick. What's going on is Comcast is spinning off part of its business to Great Land Connections Incorporated. Great Land, again, is a spinoff of Comcast to a company run and partially owned by Charter Communications. In order for Great Land to take place of Comcast in Number City, those city councils must approve a new franchise agreement with Great Land. But apparently Great Land is starting out with close to $8 billion in debt. And they're leaving cities like Detroit. And probably there's not a lot of money being made in Detroit by Comcast. So, and if this company is huge in debt already, it can't bode well for, you know, internet service for those companies and television service. All right, last couple articles here. There's a great photo of an F-18 zooming through the Golden Gate Bridge. Was a air show in San Francisco this past weekend, and a pretty incredible picture here. For all of you, if you want to take a look at the Blues, and of course the Blue Angels are always a thrill to watch fly and do their thing here. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. All right, finally, what have I got here tonight? Hey, don't forget to come over to geeknesscentral.com. The writers over there are doing great work. We're putting up a lot of new content. on a daily basis. Something that was put up today by Andrew's OnePlus partners with JBL for the E1+ earphones. It's an article up. There's some stuff about Amazon Prime coming to Android phones, talking about the TriCaster Mini and some services are out there. So definitely come over to Geek News Central and look at the content. Let me load the email here. I had it loaded and I closed it like a knucklehead, so we can get and give some stuff away. And let me click this, GNC comments. And everyone, thanks for emailing Sam for the contest stuff. So let me go through the emails first. And so the first comes from Sam Todd. Wow, 10 years, so awesome. Recently did a presentation at work called 10 Years and used you and the GNC podcast as my case study. I wanted to get you an updated Ohana Seris art for the 10-year show and send in an audio comment, but the time escaped from me. I've been listening since show number 5 or one of the single-digit episodes. Look forward to being a part of the Ohana as we move forward into the future of podcasting and GNC. Sam, of course, is a part of our Ohana in Albuquerque. Got an email from Mason. Says, I really enjoyed the latest Geekness Surf podcast. It was a nice trip down memory lane. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I started listening sometime in the first month, shortly after I got my first iPod in September of 2004. So, Mason, thanks for being here. Hi, Todd. Well, I've been a listener and watcher of your podcast for over a year now, but have never written. You ask often for some info about your listeners, but I never seem to get the time to write, although I have thought of writing for many times. I'd like to say thank you for your efforts over the last 10-plus years. Now, in doing the whole podcast thing, your show is always enjoyable and informative. I do like the fact that you are not afraid to share your opinion on things, even if they're not tech-related. Keep that up. The part I enjoyed most about your show on Thursday night was your story about your childhood and you came from a family of ditch diggers. Good for you to have made it so far. Keep up the great work and what you're doing. It's much appreciated. Please add me to the drawing. Ken out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Got an email from Warrior Curtis. Todd, congrats on the 10th anniversary. The reminiscing was very interesting, and your enthusiasm makes me want to do a show of my own. It's easy to understand why so many people can trace their podcasting roots back to your influence in the podcasting world. I bought an iPod in 2006 because I'd been reading about podcasts. I started in the early 1990s. I subscribed to a service that periodically sent a cassette tape that read the top tech news, so I knew that podcasting was the ideal medium for staying informed. I started listening to GNC regularly around the time of the 200th show. Many, many, many shows have come and gone, but I appreciate the consistency you've shown over the years. If a new GNC is not in my feed on Tuesday or Friday morning, I immediately start checking to see what's wrong. Thanks for all your work. Again, Warrior Curtis. Got an email from Christian. It said, Todd, congrats on 10 years. Can't remember when I started listening to the show. I think it may be before show 100. Enjoyed the latest podcast. It's nice to hear again the history of you and the show. Your show has always been one of the ones I've gone to for my tech news. Keep up the good work. And always, also is my entry. So, Christian, thanks so much. Got an email from Dale. He said, Todd, I enjoyed reviewing the past history of the show. I started listening to low double digits, 20 to 30. I can recall most all of the events mentioned. I appreciate the effort you place on each show. I've only met you once in a listener meetup in San Jose, but it was like meeting an old friend. Thanks, Dale. Dale, I remember that was fun, man, when we did that. Hi, I met you at the first two podcast expos. I happened to be tweeting that a band I promoted on my own TPS radio show is on Letterman tonight when I saw your tweet about the live Google Plus link. Great that you're not only still at it, you're still going to take it to the next level, and you look great. I felt like I aged 5 years when I lived in Oahu for 2.5, much continued sex, carry. And, you know, because the cost of living in this place is too crazy. It's funny. So, okay. So here's how we're going to work this. I did a random draw. And so here's how I had basically set up. So we're going to do Chromecast, Apple TV, Chromecast. So the winner, we have Christian winning a Chromecast, Keith winning an Apple TV, and Mason winning a Chromecast. Again, used a randomizer to randomize those entries that went into Sam. So congratulations to those three. Sam will get in touch with Christian, Keith, and Mason and get, matter of fact, Christian, Keith, and Mason, all you guys send an email to Sam with your mailing address, and we'll get those ordered and get those out to you. And again, congratulations for winning that from from our 10th anniversary show. Also, let me see here. A couple things that come in that we should have talked about. MS Small Biz, I can see where the service, Pacinata, Businesses Dreams, Pacinata, how it works. Okay, this came from MS Small Biz, and it's from Pacinata.com. And I can see where this service could be a salesman's dream. Leave on a trip to New York and no worries about lost luggage or wrinkles in the suits, as all you're carrying is your carry-on with your needed materials. Your suit is already at your hotel in New York. On a multiple city trip, just have two setups with Pacinata so each can be clean and arrive at the next nation while you're traveling with your carry-on and not lugging suitcases from airport to airport, hoping the luggage arrives or you have time to get some clean underwear. I looked at this, MS Small Biz, and be honest with you, for like some of the trips I've done recently, this thing would be perfect, dude. It really would. So just has to figure out if the cost involved will work out. Got a Google Plus comment from Jake, congrating on the 10 show. Appreciate that. Got an email from Fran. Congratulations, Todd. I thought you might get a giggle out of this short video, so I've attached it here. Thanks for your complete commitment to the genre. I will play this on the next show, and I think you guys will, when I can do video. And it was when we were still hanging out in, what is that place? And she has it in the video. I think I still pay for an account over there. It's that virtual world. Oh, God. Anyway, let me star this, and we'll play it when we have video. Fran's a longtime listener of the show, and got an email from, already played that. So I think that's it for tonight, folks. We're hour 16, so audio show only. Doesn't preclude us from going over. And as always, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me. It's been a lot of fun. And I hope we had a great conversation together. At least that's the goal. And but definitely want to hear your guys' input. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to email me. Or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And we're on the march to show 1,000. What should we do? Kind of, after the 10th anniversary show, 1,000 is kind of like, yeah, okay, it's just another number. But any thoughts what we should do special for the 1,000th edition of this show? Or is it just another number? What would be cool if we could get 1,000 of you to become part of the GNC 1,000? GeekNewsCentral.com/insider, 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, $25 a month. That would be greatly appreciated. And especially seeing that we just killed a Mac Pro that is a lifeblood of this show, we would definitely appreciate any contribution going into right now, a one-timer to help me make up the difference to pay for a replacement, if that's what it comes to. But thanks, everyone, for being here. And we'll see you on Thursday back here in Bloomington. If any of you are in Louisville, I'll be in Louisville on Friday night. I'd love to meet up maybe for dinner or something. So keep me aware. Or if you're here in the Bloomington area, let me know as well. So otherwise, we'll see you all on Thursday night. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.